When my way seems dark and drear and the future I don't know, my heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and a tempest fills my soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is best. When the toils of life are come and my heart is worn with care, I faint 'neath the burden of the cross I cannot bear. When the joy has departed from my sorrow-stricken soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Though His way is best. God makes no mistakes. His way is best.
Thank you, Brother Luco. Thank you, Brother Tony, for coming in this morning. Go ahead and lower that down, Brother, and move it out of the way. Appreciate him coming in and singing for us. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 11, the Gospel of John and chapter 11. Find that, of course, in your inside your New Testament there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Gospel of John. And we're in chapter 11 this morning, and we will be reading there the first five verses of that chapter, all right? Chapter number 11. Let's see here. I think I told I would leave him on this morning. So did you turn him off? So that's good. Okay, very good. All right. That way they can listen in. Verse number 1 of John chapter 11, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." I want to speak to you, church, this morning on the subject Lazarus, Jesus, and sickness. Let's pray together. Father, Would you please help us now by your Spirit's help and power to concentrate and to think on your word? I pray that, Lord, you will defeat through your precious shed blood the prince of the power of the air. That, God, you'll help all of us be able to hear this morning clearly from your word. Anoint my lips and words, and anoint all of our ears so that we might be able to hear what the Spirit would say to us from the word this morning. Feed our souls, O God. Help us to hunger after your book, your truth, this morning. And we'll thank you for your help in Christ's name. And amen. It has been a privilege to take part in a conference call prayer meeting at 7:30 each evening, Monday through Saturday. There are pastors calling into this conference call from all over the United States. Brother Chuck Harding set this up, and I found out about it by way of text message. And the pastors call in, and then he calls on five pastors to lead in prayer over the phone. And it usually takes about 30 to 35 minutes. Men of God all over this country are beseeching God and His help during these times. At the beginning of each evening prayer time, he goes over a list of individuals, mostly pastors and their families, who have caught this virus. And unfortunately, that list is growing. I have talked to two, possibly three people, myself, who have caught the virus. And so far, praise the Lord, thankfully, no one I know personally has died from it. Needless to say, there are a lot of sick people, and that list is still increasing. The first mention of the word sick in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 48 and verse number 1. It is used about Jacob. Someone came to Joseph and said to him, and I'm quoting now from the scripture, "Behold, thy father is sick." Now, Jacob's sickness was related to his age. He was full of years, and long life is a blessing from God, but eventually living long comes with some sort of sickness. Now, in our text this morning, we read of Lazarus of Bethany and his sisters Mary and Martha. And I want to draw your attention to some truths from this passage. First of all, number one, I want you to see what the obvious here, Lazarus was sick. You see that in verse number one. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus." We're not told what kind of sickness Lazarus had. We know that it was a serious sickness. We know that it would get progressively worse. And folks, the honest truth of the matter is, sickness is part of life's experiences. No doubt, but there are some people who, unfortunately, are more sickly than others. But in the end, all human beings encounter sickness. Now, I remember a Sunday earlier this year where we had, I think it was six men, maybe it was the end of last year, we had six men at home on Sunday missing the service who had influenza, and they had fevers with it. So it is a part of life. And I'm sure that you, like me, have heard some person say, "I've never been sick a day in my life." Well, I doubt that's true, okay? Probably they had a fever or a sinus infection or an ear infection before they were old enough to remember it, and mom and dad had to take care of it. Or maybe they said those words, "I've never been sick a day in my life," and the next day they had an appendectomy. Okay, I mean, I don't know. But you know, you've heard people talk like that. Truly, people can increase the chances of getting sick by abusing their bodies. Tobacco leads to unnecessary sickness. Alcoholic drinks lead to unnecessary trouble. Drugs leads to unnecessary trouble in our bodies with sickness. Promiscuous living, all of those things can lead to potentially devastating diseases. Some bad habits and vices, unfortunately, decrease the effectiveness of a person's immune system. Poor eating habits, poor sleep habits can take a toll on a person's health. But I want you to hear me this morning. The number one cause of sickness, for all across the realm of humanity, the number one cause is sin. Is sin. It's the sin nature. Now, personal sin can cause personal sickness. But the curse that came with the sin nature is the cause of all sickness. There was no sickness until sin came into this world. And I want you to think of this with me this morning. You read of Jesus. You read of Jesus being hungry in the Gospels, okay? You read of Christ being hungry. You read of Christ being thirsty. You read of Christ being tired. And you know what those are, folks? Those are all very common human appetites that God created mankind with. Food satisfies the appetite of hunger. Water satisfies the appetite of thirst. Sleep satisfies the appetite of being tired. Those are remedies that will help solve those particular appetites. But you know what you never read about Jesus? You never read of Jesus being sick. No, sir. You never read of Jesus catching any kind of disease. And people, can I remind us this morning, we're talking about someone who moved among some of the most sickest people in his day. The lepers and the woman with the blood disease. Multitudes of sick people, infirm people, were brought to Jesus so he could touch them. There was no social distancing with Jesus. And in spite of all that nearness to sickness and being around all those contagious people, Jesus never fell sick to anything. He was never sick because he was without sin. It's sin's curse that brings sickness upon a human person. It's sin's curse that brings sickness upon humanity. Sin brought a lot of sorrows to mankind, more than we can enumerate this morning. One of those sorrows was that of being sick. Lazarus was a very sick man. Now, there's something else obvious in this passage beside the fact that Lazarus was sick. And that's my second point today. This is Jesus loved Lazarus. Now, I want you to look at verse number 3. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So the sisters wanted Jesus to know that their brother was sick. They sent word to him by way of messengers. And as far as we know, their message was as we read it in verse number 3. He whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus knew exactly who they were talking about. Jesus loved Lazarus. You know, pondering this subject this week, I thought to myself, I wonder what all had transpired between Jesus and those three siblings that caused these girls to say what they did about their brother. He whom thou lovest is sick. Now, the truth of the matter is, we know this, Jesus loves every one of us in a special and specific way, and Jesus loved Lazarus in a special and specific way. You know, I know Jesus and Lazarus fellowship together. Jesus was a frequent guest at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and somehow, some way, now here, a knowledge of Christ's love for them had come through loud and strong. And in the moment of a potentially devastating sickness, the fact that Jesus loved them still came through loud and strong. And I hope that same knowledge is shared by you and by me. I hope that same knowledge is shared by somebody this morning who is sick under the sound of my voice. Maybe it's the COVID-19, or maybe it's some other sickness that's come upon you. Maybe it's something that you were carrying in your body before this particular virus became so spread around the world or country. I don't know, but I hope in spite of all the cloud of uncertainty about a sick body and where is it going and what is it, I hope you can sense this morning that above all, Jesus loves you. You know, it's hard to grow to love someone with whom you don't communicate. Talking with someone and listening to someone talk to you allows hearts to grow in love together. Everybody could tell a similar story, different details, but a similar story overall. I remember the fall, September of 1976. Man, I'd been saved less than a year, about 10 months, 11 months. Went off to Bible college to pursue the will of God for my life. And all the registration was complete, and it was the first day of class. I was a freshman. I was a freshman in a fairly large school. I was by myself. I didn't know anybody in the church that sponsored the college. I didn't know anybody in the college. Didn't know any of the students there, none of the faculty, none of the administration, knew none of them. And I walked into a classroom, just still getting used to my roommates. I walked into a classroom, Old Testament survey, down in the basement of the hallway, room 138 or 139, and started looking for a seat in which to sit for that particular class. And I saw a seat there, and here was a young lady in the seat next there across the way, and an older lady, if you will, in front of the young lady, and there was a younger man sitting across from her. And I sat down in that seat, and I introduced myself. I said, "Hey, I'm Terry Angel. I'm from Georgia." And the young lady sitting right to the left of me said, "My name is Joyce Christner. I'm from Iowa." I said a very stupid thing. I said, "That's where they grow potatoes, right?" And she said, "No, that's where they grow corn. They grow potatoes in Idaho." Okay, well, that was a bad start, folks, but that's how it began. Then I met, in sitting in front of that lady named Joyce, I met Rose Scott. Rose Scott was in college, and like I said, she was probably in her 40s, late 40s, early 50s. Her husband had passed away, and sitting next to her, in front of me, was Tim Scott, her son. And day after day, that became our seat. We sat in those same seats all through, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of our class period there for Old Testament survey. And you know, something began to happen between the young lady sitting next to me and myself. And we began to speak with each other and talk with each other. And it really caught up after the first of the year, January of 1977, when we began to officially kind of date there at the school. Our dates were college chapel services and maybe eating lunch together. We were all working and all that. And over time, as we began to share our hearts with each other, she shared things with me and I shared things with her. I became more familiar with her. She became more familiar with me. You know, I realized, man, I love this gal. And I believe she realized that she loved me. And our love didn't just stay a friendship love. It went further than a friendship love. It went to a marriage love. And that love has been strong and is growing even stronger over these 40-plus years. As we rode together over to South Bend for Alexis's and Lawrence's wedding this past Tuesday, we had such a wonderful time just being together. That love has grown stronger, fuller, deeper as we have shared communication with each other over all these years. You know what? I believe if you asked my brother Tim down in South Carolina, and you asked my mother, if you asked them, they know Joyce loves me. And they could say to her, if needed, "Joyce, he whom thou lovest is sick." And I believe my wife's family, her dad, her brother, and her sister, I believe they know that I love her. And if needed, they could say to me, "Terry, she whom thou lovest is sick." And I would know exactly who they were talking about. And friend, I want to say to you, that kind of love relationship should exist between each of us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that kind of love relationship only deepens and grows and broadens as we spend time with Him. You say, "Pastor, that's been a common theme of these messages, Wednesday nights and Sundays, since all of this chaos started in our lives. It's been a common theme from the pulpit. Read your Bible, pray." We can't get any more basic than that. And if you're going to experience the depth of love that the Lord Jesus wants us to experience in our relationship with Him, we're going to have to spend that time together that melds our hearts. And I know some of us have more time than others. But oh my goodness, find some time, create some time for that. Listen, I want you to feel the depth of love that the Lord Jesus has for you, sick or not, sick or well. I want you to know that love. You know, the truth of the matter is, in spite of that deep and broad and precious and perfect and pure love that Jesus had for Lazarus, Lazarus still fell sick. And I wish it could tell all of us this morning that because Jesus loves us, we'll never be sick. But you know that's not true. You know, because of the curse of sin that's still in our bodies, even as saved people, you know we still experience sickness. But wouldn't it be, of all times, when you're uncertain about something going on in your body, wouldn't it be, of all things to know, wouldn't the greatest thing to know be to know that Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Lazarus was sick. Number two, Jesus loved Lazarus. And can I say this morning, number three, in closing, here, bear with me just a little bit longer. Here, give me your full attention. Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. Now, I want you to see this in verse number four. It's not my words, it's what Jesus said. Look at verse four. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, that's what Jesus said in verse number four. When he heard the words, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick," immediately he said, "This sickness is not unto death." And yet you get down to verse number 14. We know the story. And the disciples, Jesus is speaking with the disciples here in verse 14. And the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." But now, wait a minute. Back in verse number 4, Jesus said that this sickness is not unto death. What Jesus was saying, I believe, is, hey, listen, this sickness will not end in death. Now, Lazarus did die physically, but we know the end of the story. You get down to verse number 23 and look at the conversation. Jesus has now come to Bethany. And Martha comes to see him and meets him and greets him and says, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Look at verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Look what Martha said to him in verse 24. "I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus responded with this promise. He said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Oh my goodness, those words have reverberated through my soul this week. Now follow me. I want to speak as carefully as I can, but I must tell you plainly this morning that any sickness a child of God has will not end in death. Now, they may physically die, but if they have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will never die in the sense of not existing any longer. They will never die in the sense of being separated from God. And their body will be raised up in the day of resurrection. Church, no matter where you are seated this morning, if it's in this auditorium, that just a few of us, or if you're at home, or if you're listening by some in some distant land, it matters not if it's COVID-19 or a car accident. It matters not if it's cancer or an aneurysm. It matters not if it's a stroke or getting electrocuted. It doesn't matter if it's killed in an accident at work, or just the old age finally wears the body completely out. For the believer in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that causes our life to end in death. Nothing. Nothing. 2012, my brother Tom, cancer led to his physical death. But his cancer did not end in death. No, Tom lives. Tom lives. And he lives today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives today because of his faith in him. He lives today because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. 6 years later, in 2018, My dad's Alzheimer's led to his physical death, but his Alzheimer's did not end in death. He lives. My dad lives. And he lives because of his faith in Jesus, and because Jesus lives, and because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Look, I'm not minimizing. Maybe you know somebody who's died of this COVID-19 virus. Maybe you know somebody personally, extended family or friend or somebody from a past relationship somewhere. And I'm not minimizing the grief and the sorrow and the tears and the hurt that comes with somebody's physical death. I'm not minimizing it. Mary and Martha were broken because Lazarus died. Even Jesus at the tomb wept. That wonderful verse, number 35. Jesus wept. I'm not minimizing that. But this is my point this morning. Right now, if someone gets a fever, there's fear. If someone gets any kind of a sickness, there's fear. And we must not let the spirit of fear overwhelm us. Fear ourselves, fear for a loved one. Because, friend, there is no sickness for a child of God that ends a person's life in death. None. Because Jesus lives, we live. No one wants to die. Human nature is to fight for life as long as we can. It was kind of interesting with my father-in-law, and he's gone through it. He's actually doing some better. We're grateful for that. But if you called my father-in-law a month ago, one of the grandchildren would call him, or one of the kids would call him. The thing that he would talk about more than anything is, man, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm asking the Lord just to take me to heaven. Oh, God, would you please take me to heaven? But man, when he had that trouble with his blood, and he was bleeding internally, and things were going south real quick, and the doctors even were very fearful for him that one day in particular, he was pretty interested in whatever he had to do to live. And that's human nature. We fight for life, but I am saying COVID-19 will not end in death for a believer in Christ. It can't. That believer is promised that he will never die, though he were dead. Yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe that, friend. And that's what he asked Martha at the end of verse number 26. Believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? Do you truly believe that he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die? And Martha got the answer right in verse number 27. She saith unto him, yea, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And people, do you understand what she was saying in that answer? She said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, which should come into this world. I believe that you are the anointed one who has come into this world to be the sacrifice for our sin, to die for us, to be buried, and to rise again. I believe that. And people, when you express that kind of belief in Jesus, you know what that's called? That's called saving faith. That's called saving faith. Saving faith. And boy, if you're listening this morning and you've always thought maybe church membership or getting baptized or being a good person would make you ready for eternity and to take you to heaven, friend, I want you to know this morning, listen carefully, there is only one way that you can come to the end of your life and not have it end. Not have it end in death, permanent death. The only way you can do that is trusting in the shed blood, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Putting your faith in Him completely, alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus, I believe you are God's Son. I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried and rose again, and I trust you now to save me. If you've never done that, speak like Martha did. Speak your words of belief to God. Speak your words of belief in Jesus to Him. Receive Him as your Savior and be saved. Now, you know what comes later in this chapter? I believe we have a sneak preview of Resurrection Day. When you get down to verse number 43, the Bible says that Jesus had approached the tomb of Lazarus. And when he had thus spoken, hey, he had a prayer to his father there. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, the Bible tells us that one of these days he's going to descend from heaven and stop midway in the air. And the voice of the archangel will cry out, come up hither. And the trumpet will sound. Look, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. The truth of the matter is, folks, listen very carefully. For a child of God, he that liveth and believeth in Christ shall never die. For the child of God who's a born again believer, as soon, if not before, we take our last breath here, we are breathing celestial air there. No, there is no sickness. That is unto death, where it's final, over. But there is for unbelievers. The sickness ends in death, not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God forever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. Oh, if you're not saved this morning, turn your heart to Christ. If you are saved this morning and you're sick, I hope you know that Jesus loves you. And I hope that you'll realize, friend, I'm sure people are sick this morning with flus and stuff and colds and strep throat. That's not going to end your life necessarily in some physical death. But there might be somebody listening to the sound of my voice this morning who is sickly. And it's bad. I talked to a man this week with COVID-19, an elderly man. And he said to me, brother, I may not make it out of this, but I know where I'm going. Can you say that if you were lying in the bed somewhere with COVID-19, having trouble breathing, fever rising? Would you be able to say, I may not make it out of this, but I know where I'm going? Lazarus was sick. Jesus loved Lazarus. And the truth of the matter is, Lazarus' sickness could not end his life in permanent death. He was a born-again child of God. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together, even where you are there in your home. And you know, let me encourage you. If God spoke to your heart in some specific way this morning, let me encourage you to take a moment and have a little invitation right there at your house. Just a moment, I'm going to ask Naomi to play just quietly on the piano. Give you, your family, an opportunity just to have a little time of prayer. If God spoke to you this morning during any part of the message, why don't you acknowledge that by beginning even now, as she plays quietly on the piano, why don't you begin to acknowledge that by praying right now, letting God know how the message helped you this morning? How about that part where, you know, to grow in love with each other, you got to spend time with each other? Are you spending the time necessary to know the love of God? I mean, to know it. And what better time to know it? You're sick. How about that? And if you're listening this morning and you're not sure you're saved, listen, the single most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to trust Christ as your Savior. He came, He died, He was buried, He rose again for your sin. Would you receive Him as your Savior even now? Would you call upon Him? Would you tell Him that you believe who He is? Would you tell Him that you believe in what He did? And would you claim it as sufficient for your salvation? Confess it to Him. Tell Him you know you're a sinner. But thank Him for dying for you. Ask Him to be your Savior. Our Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the blessed privilege of having this time together today. And thank You, God, for this passage of Scripture from which You can speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll help our people. I pray that you'll help those who hear this message. And if there's someone out there, God, lost without Christ, I pray that the dear Spirit of God would draw them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And I'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. If you're out there, folks, and you're not saved, and you have questions about your salvation, please call our church number, 815-933-9400. Leave a voicemail. Give us your name and number. And one of us pastors on staff will be happy to call back and visit with you over the phone about this all-important matter of salvation.